Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 31st. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Good morning, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Well, we've done quite a lot this week, haven't we? We did, of course, the B2B.
We did the West Kent B2B.
On Friday, because you know my week.
No, well, I started earlier than you, because I did the Kent Women in Business.
Oh, you did? You frolicked.
I frolicked at the Kent Women in Business Awards, which was a frolicky good evening.
I saw lots of pictures of you in your Brer Rabbit attire.
Absolutely, and I can't remember all the winners off the top of my head, although we will be going through all of them shortly, but some of those that stood out for me were the lovely Sarah Paul from Western Hanger Castle, SP Wedding Events.
Who just happened to buy a castle.
In fact, it was the acceptance speech to beat all acceptance speeches. She basically said, 4 years ago I was made redundant, I now own a castle. Thank you.
That's all that needs to be said.
What can you say? It's, you know, brilliant. So well done to Sarah Paul. Well done to Jane Ollis of this parish, Managing Director of Rift Accounting.
Yeah.
And Amy McManus and Rebecca Robertson and loads of people.
Mostly Business Bunker guests.
Well, obviously.
Is there a theme? Obviously. Is there a theme, obviously, you wonder?
Obviously. But it was a fabulous night. And then, as you quite rightly say, we joined Rift in the Business Base Camp at the West Kent B2B.
Where I worked very hard.
Well, you turned up 3 hours after
you
the start.
You frolicked off with women, lunch, as I remember.
Had lunch. We're not talking about that. Had lunch.
Did you get her phone number?
I'm not telling
you. How many phone numbers did you actually collect on the day? It's like a Lotharo.
No. It's called business, Jules.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's called business.
From where I was sitting, it looked very cosy, I must say.
Yeah, sure.
And, of course, the book launch.
And the book launch.
Frontier Funds.
Frontier Funds at Bloomberg, which was a fabulous evening as well.
We went out. Wasn't the food good?
It was. The whole thing was good. Yeah. It was really a really good evening.
And it was especially good for me because I had your quota of wine as well.
You drank all of my wine, all your own wine.
And have you started reading the tome yet?
Yes, I have, yeah.
What chapter are you on?
I'm doing Saudi Arabia at the moment.
Okay. Did you see the photo of Saudi Arabia? There's a woman in the full black dress, hijab and everything. Mm. And then there's a man taking a picture of her by a landmark. And, of course, the woman in the hijab, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
It could be anyone. When they look back in 30 years, they won't know which of the sisters it is.
They'll go, God, I've changed. I've aged. I'm shorter.
but you know, there's only 13 left when I last looked on Amazon.
Yeah, that's a great
so
book.
They're doing a reprint already.
That's a great book.
And of course, he's been on telly ever since.
Yeah, he's on the radio today as well.
Yeah, he is on
lesser
known.
He won't get any listeners because they'll all be listening to this.
It's 4 p.m. I think.
Oh, is it?
He wouldn't dare go on at the same time as us.
Oh, no, you'd kill him, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd poison his chicken soup.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite right too.
Good.
And who might our sponsor be?
Today's show sponsor is the Federation of Small Business, and a big thank you to them. And we've got some news to read out from them later on. So do thank you for that. Coming up at 2 o'clock as well, we're going to be joined by our other lead sponsor from Rift Accounting, Mr. Chris Gaze, Senior Accountant. And we're going to be answering any questions you might have about VAT. So do tweet in any of your VAT questions, or indeed anything else. And if you want to shout out, tweet me at Vanilla Web. We have already had a couple of hundred tweets, and we will be reading them shortly. But don't be shy. Do give us a tweet. Tweet me at Vanilla Web. If you've particularly got any questions about VAT or HMRC or anything like that, do tweet them in. Why are you smiling?
No, you've gone all Poldark. If you particularly...
Don't start that again. She sent Poldark viral last week.
Yeah, we had a Poldark hashtag going on. Have you been watching, Claire? Claire will
understand. Enough already.
Have you, darling?
It was bad enough last week.
Good.
Don't let her drag you into this, Claire. We started this last week getting all Poldarky on us, and it had nothing to do with the show whatsoever, and we ended up spending an entire show talking about Poldark.
You'd be having a great something to look forward to over Easter if you watch all of them. There'd be about five to watch.
Thank you for
that's
that.
That's my Cornish.
That's a senior wench, that is, is what that is.
Senior wench.
Yeah. Now then, I want to tell you about something that I came across just recently.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in this. It's a very, very clever idea. It's quite long, but it's worth bearing with. It's a magical bedtime book that's purposefully designed to get kids to sleep quicker and to make them happier going to sleep than ever before. The book is called Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug. Okay. It's a stunningly illustrated children's book, which is destined to be a massive hit with kids, but also with parents. It's been enriched with mindfulness and well-being, if anybody's familiar with the concept of mindfulness and well-being. And it's a bedtime story, and it's designed to captivate children's hearts and to send them off to sleep at bedtime relaxed and happy.
They just need to play this to them, surely.
Yeah, of course. The campaign to publish this book is now live on the largest crowdfunding portal in the world, which is Kickstarter.com. But the world's awash with children's books, but this is no ordinary one. Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug is the first of its kind. Created with a child's predilection to animated heroes in mind, the characters in the book hold their own with those of Disney or Pixar. By commanding the reader's attention, affection and trust, the characters deliver mindfulness to children in a very appealing way. The beautifully written and illustrated adventure is a tale which holds its own with most successful children's books already in print. It's written by Asli Madden, and she's worked in the design and publishing for over 20 years and runs her own design company called Design Boss, Design BOS. She self-published a reprint of her late mother's All About Home Economics textbook back in 2011, which was a number one Christmas bestseller. This led to the production of television series Domestic Divas, which was aired prime time on Ireland's national TV station, RTE, and which Asli herself presents. She's also a keen advocate of mindfulness meditation, and by merging her design and writing abilities with her passion for well-being and meditation, she's come up with this book, which is Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug. There's a Kickstarter campaign in which you can contribute to the publishing of this book. The book, I believe, is due to be published in September 2015. If you go onto the Kent Business Radio website community pages, there is a link to the Kickstarter page where you can contribute to what's going on, or just read about the book. But do check it out, and do follow her on Twitter. And you can follow her on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is at Buddha Bugs. And let me spell it. Well, let me spell it for you. It's BuddaBugzz. That's Buddha Bugs. BuddaBugzz on the Twitter. So do give Asli a follow, and do have a look at her Kickstarter page, because it's a fabulous, fabulous idea, and a great book.
May I ask how we're spelling the little Gaelic name?
It is spelt. Her name is spelt, which is why I'm having trouble saying it.
I can tell.
A-I-S-L-I.
A-I-S-L-I.
Aisley.
Would you say Aisley?
Well, that's what I said, but
we don't know. We'll have to ask Tweeting Goddess. She'll know.
Aisley Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N.
Miriam will know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miriam McGirt.
I'll get told off for mispronouncing it, but I'm sorry now. I apologise now.
They are quite strangely written. The names, the Gaelic names, they're quite hard for us English to read. Have you ever looked at, for example, Sinan? I used to know a boy called Sinan, and it was spelt not at all like Sinan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for that.
And other names, you know.
That was
like
really
Westmoreland.
That's really useful. You can't even say item.
I know, Ictum.
Ictum, she calls it.
But where did these names come from?
Exactly. Trotter's Cliff, that's your favourite place, isn't it?
Trotter's Cliff.
Trossley.
Do I really say that?
Yeah, Trotter's Cliff, you say. Trossley it is. Okay, so do follow that up. On the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website is a link to Zenji and the Kickstarter page for that book, so do have a check out. I'll tell you what, we've got dozens and dozens of tweets, and I'm going to read some of them in a minute. George, good. You can stop tweeting.
Well, Chris Pollard has just told you how to say it.
Go on,
actually.
Then.
Well, no, because I'm looking for a photo of you in a green hat, which I can't find. It's really annoying.
She has a complete stock of photographs of me in compromising positions and in various dressed attires that have all been photoshopped, I might add. None of them are real.
I've sent the lovely Claire, because I can't believe that she has lived and not seen Poldark, because I've sent you a lovely photo of
You're the only one that gets all...
There's millions that love
all
him.
All bothered about...
Now, Chris Pollard says it's Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, that is written A-I-S-L-I.
So it's pronounced Ashley.
Yeah, so there's no H, is there?
No, but that doesn't matter.
That's the little trick, isn't it, with the Irish.
So it's pronounced Ashley. So I do apologise. That's Ashley Madden, Buddha Bugs.
Well, let's read the book, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. Shall I read a thing, an email, while you... ponder your Twitter.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I will.
Why didn't I think of that? I should have mentioned it, really, shouldn't I?
You know, this is this looks like it's from the Federation of Small Businesses, listeners. So this is an interesting one. It's the first Kent Small Business Hustings. I love that word. Highlight broadband and transport issues. That's what it's going to be doing.
No. That's the report from the first hustings that was last week.
Okay.
That was what came out of it.
Oh, this is the report then?
Yeah.
Okay. It's dated the 30th, so it was yesterday. So it's hot off the press.
It is indeed.
They're saying small businesses were quizzed, or they quizzed, rather, Dover parliamentary candidates last night, so it was yesterday eve, on broadband and Operation Stack and about business rates. And it was a packed house at the Dover Marina. I wonder if they saw my friend Trevor there. Little Australian, remember?
Trevor Bond? I know Trevor.
Lovely Trevor Bond.
Hello, Trevor.
Hello, yeah. Trevor. Good day. It was organised by the FSB and chaired by Ian Collins of BBC Radio Kent, a lesser-known radio station. Guests were able to question panellists on the hot topics that affect independent businesses. Andrew McCann, who's the managing director of Rhino Aluminium, said it was a very interesting debate. It was useful to hear directly from candidates on what they do to improve broadband. Install some, perhaps. I want the next government to take some small business seriously with regards to connectivity and to put more pressure on broadband providers to offer affordable high-speed broadband to businesses and not just to residents. Dieter Yannick, who's chairman and founder of Viking Recruitment, voiced his concerns about Operation Stack. Mm. And he said, who takes ownership of the traffic disruption during Operation Stack? It impacts business and the people of Dover. We need signs indicating where the congestion is, and it would make a hell of a difference. Dover will live and die by its traffic congestion, and it needs to get sorted. A brave candidate would put it at the top of their agenda for Dover. Fair play there. And the panel was local parliamentary candidates. I'll just list some of them. There was Claire Hawkins, who was Labour, David Little, UKIP, Sarah Smith, Liberal Dems, and Jolyon Trimmingham of the Green Party. Paul Watkins, Conservative, and also he's the leader of Dover District Council, and he stood in for Charlie Elphick, who's the MP for Dover and Deal. Mr Elphick had been called into Parliament to vote on the finance bill and sent his apologies. So Bill Fox was also there, our dear friend from FSB Kent and Medway.
He's the chair of the region.
Yep. He is the chair. And he said this has really kicked off the debate in Kent about what the next MPs can do to help small business. The FSB is holding more than 70 hustings across the country in the run-up to the general election. So make sure that the voice of small business is heard. Now, to find out more about this, go to ibacsmallbusiness.com. And also, let's have a look. There's a Dover Small Business Debate, which will be broadcast on Radio Kent on Friday the 27th of March. That's gone, sorry. Local business owners are invited to the next FSB Small Business Debate at the Corn Exchange in Rochester, which is tonight,
mm-hmm.
6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And you can email alison.parmar, P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk. You can tweet at F for Freddie, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, Kent. Or you can visit fsb.org.uk, Kent and Medway. Obviously, details of that will be on the Kent Business Radio website as well. Sounds like a good hustings.
Yeah, there's a whole series of them that are going to be taking place, and small business people can go along and question all the prospective candidates standing in the election on what their respective parties' views are on small business.
And I'm loving that it was the Corn Exchange, because, of course, that's very poll dark, isn't it? The Corn Exchange. You can see, just see Aidan Turner at the Corn Exchange.
If only we'd have held it down a tin mine.
If only with a little Cornish pasty, perhaps.
Anyway, I'm going to start reading some of these tweets. Yeah. We've had a tweet from Cars from Kent. It says, hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Jules Sirkin. Could we have a shout-out, please? If you're looking to sell your car, it's only £9.99 to advertise until it's sold, and that's on carsfromkent.com. So thank you to the guys over there for that. The Townhouse, Maidstone. We had our Christmas dinner there. Vanilla Web, our delicious du jour menu offer is still on. Lunch Monday to Friday, £12 for two courses. And their Twitter handle is TTH Maidstone. TTH Maidstone. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. And I can recommend it. I have eaten at the Townhouse in Maidstone, and very nice.
Which Christmas dinner was that then? I wasn't invited.
No, it was my work's Christmas dinner, and you don't work for me, thank
goodness. I'm happy to come in and make the tea or something if there's Christmas dinner involved.
No.
Really?
No.
So was that Jobs in Kent one?
It was. It was actually quite bizarre. because it was a bit like the Vicar of Dibley. I actually had two Christmas
dinners.
Were
you a vicar?
No, I had two Christmas dinners on the same day. Because Fruitworks had their Christmas dinner on the same day as mine. So, as Jobs in Kent. So I did Jobs in Kent, first two courses, and then drove to Canterbury and had the second two courses of that.
You wonder why you can't squeeze into those jeans.
I know.
Paul Andrews.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And Telcare have tweeted in to Telcare, the telecoms providers over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
Lovely Lisa and team.
The lovely Lisa, David and the team over there. And Social Enterprise Kent, Vanilla Web. We are holding a quiz night on the 18th of April at Age UK, Herne Bay, to help raise money for them. To book a table, you can call 01227 469973. I'll give you that again. You can call 01227 469973, or you could just follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is socentkent, socent Kent, socentkent. Do give them a follow, find out about the quiz night in Herne Bay on the 18th of April, and be there. That's what I recommend.
Be there or be square.
I4 Design Agency, Vanilla Web. Hi, Paul. We met on BBC Radio Kent. Did we indeed? Love a shout out for I4. Probably the most awesome design agency in Kent. So there you go. You've been shouted out. And you can follow those guys on I4 Design. I4 Design. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. Southeast Business Show. Hi, Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin. Can we have a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, for the B2B Southeast Show? It's taking place this year on the 25th of September at the Effingham Park Hotel, Copthorne. That's near Gatwick. And you can find out all about it by going to our website, which is b2bsoutheast.com. So do check that out. So I think you can do one tweet, Jules, and then we'll play some tunage and get our first guest on the phone. What do you reckon?
I think that's a very good idea. There's What's On. This is produced in Kent. I must remind you as well, there's a tweet up, eat up, with Cripps Law. I can't remember the date of it. It's Tuesday, the, I think, 14th or 16th of April. And it's at, you can follow them at Cripps Law Food on the Twitter. But it's for food producers, and we just read it out on Scoff and Quaff. It's at the Good Shed in Canterbury by Canterbury West, and it's Tuesday about 7:30. So it'll be the 14th or the 16th, whichever the Tuesday is. And then there's also here Monk's Hill Farm Lambing, Faversham, the 28th of March. That's gone. So Easter, we've got the 1st of the 19th, Easter at the Rare Breed Centre, where Paul Andrews will be exhibiting. And then there's a murder.
I do live next door, actually. Yeah.
You are a rare breed.
I am indeed.
The 3rd of April has the murder mystery evening at the Ferry House. We also have the 3rd and the 4th of April, we have the Planet Thanet Easter Beer Festival. There's one for Julian and I.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Easter Steam Up, which is at Kent and Essex, Sussex Railway, Tenterden. And I'll read you the rest later, because Paul Andrews is poised to play you a song.
You're right indeed. Cool. We'll be straight. We'll be
beef extract.
Yeah, beef extract. We'll be straight back after this piece of tunage.
Mm.
I believe in woman, my own mind. My own mind. We all need someone to talk to, my own mind. We all need someone to talk to, my own mind. You need a shoulder to cry on. Call me, I'll be standing by. We all need someone to talk to, my own mind. You ain't
There are millions of small businesses in the UK, but in 2013, only 13,000 of them claimed back the cash that they were entitled to from the government. £46,000 on average, they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show, and we have our first guest on the show. We're joined by James Green of CreatorGate. Hello, James.
Hello there, Paul. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Let's just tell the listeners a little bit about this. James's business, CreatorGate, took part a couple of weeks ago in a hashtag on Twitter called British Biz Party. And one of the things of that is that is the business that gets the most recognition and is awarded a star. And they get to get interviewed on this show. And that's how we were introduced to James.
And thank you for that. I'd actually like to thank Trevor, who's our social media guru. It's a great thing, the hashtag British Biz Party. It really does help to introduce us to a lot of people and try and get the name out there, because what we found is with Twitter and with social media and various different things, it has helped us to actually grow people's knowledge of who we are.
Absolutely.
Which is very, very important. And we're all small businesses. We all like to help each other.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
That's what that hashtag does.
You're absolutely right, James. And it's on Monday evenings, 9 till 11. Anyone can join in with the hashtag British Biz Party. And you're absolutely right. It helps all of us in small businesses to get together and chat. And we don't overly sell to each other. We kind of just hang out, don't we?
Indeed, yeah. It's amazing how it actually works and how it helps.
Yeah.
That you, as most people in small businesses feel, we sometimes feel very alone.
Yeah.
And you know, just speaking to others and seeing what others are doing has helped. It does help.
Absolutely.
So that's why we're here today. And again, thank you.
Absolutely, no, an absolute pleasure. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what CreatorGate does?
Well, CreatorGate is a solution. What we found as a small business, there's a lot of noise being a small business, as in everyone is telling the same story about themselves.
Mm.
So what we found is we must and have to innovate. So what we did was we tasked our guys, we're a small business with 10 people, but we tasked our production guys with coming up with a new, better and easier way to make a wooden gate.
Right.
It sounds like a simple thing, but it's quite difficult. What we've done is create a gate. It comes in a pack. The innovation of the back is actually the frame of the gate. It's an A-frame.
Right.
It locks into one another. So when it locks together, it's self-squaring. It's
wow.
Adjustable in size. So in other words, you can actually just, you have 300 millimeters of adjustment on each gate. So therefore, you don't have to buy an exact size. You can actually buy it within a range.
This sounds perfect for someone with DIY skills like me. Yeah, I don't even have to measure it properly. Nice one.
Exactly. You don't have to measure properly. This is what we're trying to do.
Mm.
Again, with the gate, what we've done is we've included everything in the pack.
Right.
You have your hinges, your pad bolt, your ring latch, even stainless steel screws.
Right.
What we're trying to do is it's a very good product. Because it is self-squaring, because it locks together, it doesn't sag. So we're saying, this is a good product. Let's add in the good. Everything else has to be good to go along with it.
Sure.
And that's what we've done. It's just one of those things that, because the guys put so much hard work into it, we are very proud of it and trying our best to try and tell everyone about it, because it works. It's very, very simple. The thing about most gates are they're usually a set size, so therefore you have to try and plane off something just to make it fit.
Yeah.
With this being adjustable, we can if you order today before 12 a.m., before 12 p.m., a.m., p.m., we dispatch it the same day.
Right, okay.
So you can have it. You can have it within 2-3 days, and you'll actually be able to put it together without any problem whatsoever.
And this is a wooden gate.
A wooden gate.
And is it... Is there a range of different gates, or is there just kind of one that you provide?
No, there is a range. We have your garden gates, right. your side entrance gates, and your driveway gates.
Oh, right, okay.
And the heights, we have different heights. You have 900 height, 1,200, 15, and 18, and 2 metres. So you have a huge range to work from.
Okay, yeah, wow.
And what we've developed on our website, in conjunction with our guys, web developers, it's a simple, quick quote. You can just click on our website. There's the drop box for the height you want, and then there's a slider to bring it to whatever your measurement is.
Right.
So in other words, if you have a 2 meter and 20 millimeter opening, just move the slider to that. It will tell you which gate you need to buy.
Wow, that is really cool.
Where are you based?
We're actually based in Dublin, in Ireland.
I knew there was a little bit of Irish there. So, but you're servicing the UK, it says on your Twitter.
We are servicing the UK. Because it is just across the water, we're able to actually supply, we're actually able to dispatch these with, there is no extra cost for delivery.
So right, okay.
Delivered to your door.
Cool.
Amazing.
Nice
yeah,
one.
It is. Because it's so well packaged,
yeah.
It comes, like, it arrives in such a small pack, you go, oh, is there a gate here? There is, and a very strong gate at that.
Wow.
So would it, would you service sort of France or Spain, or are you just sticking to UK and Ireland?
Well, we're starting with the UK and Ireland, just simply to get this right, to make sure that we aren't going, crawl before you walk before you run.
Sure.
There's no point in trying to do everything to everybody, because if we don't do it right, we let down the customer, and the customer is always important.
And it seems to me that your philosophy here is all about quality and ease of customer use.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Cool. James, that's brilliant. It sounds like a brilliant product. Can you give our listeners a shout out for your website so that they can go and have a look and find out more about it and find out all the details?
Yes, please. It's creatorgate.com.
Creatorgate.com.
That's it.
Cool.
And great name.
And they can also obviously follow you on Twitter with the same Twitter handle.
It is the same Twitter handle, yes.
Yeah, Creatorgate. James, that's an absolutely fabulously innovative product, and we're all going to have a look at the website and decide how we're going to box Jules in with loads of gates so she can't get out. Do you do childproof gates? No, we won't get it.
I can climb it. You've seen the picture of me.
I've seen you climb.
With a glass of Prosecco.
I have a picture of Jules halfway over a 5-bar gate with a glass of Prosecco in her hand, and she hasn't spilled a drop.
No.
The only way to climb over a gate, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. James, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to hear from you. We wish you all power to create a gate, and we will put a link to your website on the Business Bunker website so that people can find out more about you. But for the moment, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both very much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Hal. That's James Green of Creatorgate, based over there in Dublin, but servicing the UK market with a really innovative design in gates.
Great idea.
It's a really clever idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not heard of that. Have you? Anybody else doing that?
Yes, I've heard of it, because I heard of it on Twitter, which is why I interviewed him.
Well, there's no need to be facetious.
Oh, sorry. No. Do you know facetious is one of only two words in the English language with all the vowels in the correct order?
Well, I do now.
Well, that's facetious as well, isn't it, really?
It is. You are actually facetious.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm good at it, though.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, read a tweet. I'm going to read an email, and then we'll talk to our first studio guests, I think.
Okay. I'm just going to carry on with some of those events for diaries, first of all. So we've got, I mentioned the Easter Steam Up, which is the 3rd to the 6th, listener, and that's in Tenterden, which sounds lovely. It's the Kent and East Sussex Railway. So that's the steam railway I take. Mm-hmm. Lovely. And then 4th to the 6th, it's the Broadstairs Spring Fair. No doubt there'll be lots of Morris men frolicking at that. The 5th of April, we've got Ashford Farmers Market, where you can find a couple of farmers in breeches and great seasonal local produce.
Do you sense a theme here somewhere?
5th to the 6th, you've got the Festival of Steam, which you would be feeling quite steamy if you've watched Poldark, Claire, you'd know. Festival of Steam and Transport, which is at Chatham Historic Dockyard. Twitter's going mad. If you can hear my phone buzzing, it's that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then on the 25th, you've got Common Work Spring Workshop, which is in Chiddingstone. I don't know what a Common Work Spring Workshop is, but we need to Google it. Perhaps Chris Pollard can look up.
He knows everything, doesn't
he? Yeah, 25th, Chiddingstone, Common Work Spring Workshop.
Cool.
That's great. We've also had an email from Kim Wood, the jewellers.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you've got any jewellery to sell, we buy jewellery.
It's a she.
Oh, she, sorry. Well, you can't tell with Kim, can you? Also, we do sale or return. So we service it as well, she says. They repair clocks, watches.
It's a he.
He. You can't tell. Are you making this up? Is it he or is she?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
I can't tell from an email.
Now you are curmudgeonly. He or she, I had a dog called Kim once, German Shepherd.
Did you?
Yeah, they repair clocks and watches.
What, your German Shepherd? He repaired clocks. That was a clever dog,
wasn't
it? I
know. Well, it did the police training. General servicing, cleaning, and all brands. Now, I've got a grandfather clock needs looking at, so I don't know if I could get that. They also do CAD design. You know, I work with a CAD, Julian. Every Tuesday. Julian's not getting involved in our tips.
I don't blame him.
He says that they can, or he or she, Kim, says they can redesign from old items. Replanting on gold and silver. I don't really get that. But does that mean redesigning what's on, like a stampy thing?
Yeah.
They can do engraving. And they also do dial work, stone rethreading and more. And now, there is a website. No, there's not. There's an eBay store thing. They're on eBay and it's Kim Wood Jewellers. Please let me know if they're a man or a woman, just to shut my co-presenter up.
As if it makes any difference, because we're diverse on this programme and we don't care. I've had a tweet from Ejom on the Twitter, and the Twitter handle is actually Cochrane_Holly. And that's a lovely Holly Cochrane. And as it happens, I've got an email from her as well. So it's apposite. Holly is from an organisation called Elbrus James, E-L-B-R-U-S, Elbrus James, and they've been successfully working with global banks, boutiques and financial institutions since 2001. As our group has expanded, Elbrus James Office Management, E-J-O-M, E-J-O-M, now covers all areas of office management for our existing clients and new clients outside of the finance industry. E-J-O-M are a recruitment company, and they apply the principles and attention to detail more normally associated with senior level executive search to the full spectrum of office management roles. We take time to fully understand our clients' requirements and then aim to meet each candidate personally to ensure their suitability. It is this personalised approach to our experience, by our experienced team, that sets us apart from the normal selection process. We assist with permanent, interim, contract and temporary assignments covering junior to senior and board level roles across London and the South East. We have a track record of single, multiple and team hires and offer contingency-based recruitment as well as executive search. Our areas of expertise are all areas of office management, including management, administration, finance, reception, secretarial and customer service. EJOM is a corporate member of the Recruitment and Employment Federation, the REC, and registered data controller with the Information Commissioner's Office in line with the Data Protection Act. So you can find out more about Holly Cochrane and her business, Elbrus James, by going to their website, which is www.elbrusjames.com. Let me spell that for you. It's E-L-B-R-U-S-J-A-M-E-S. ElbrusJames.com. So do check that out. We will put a link to the Kent Business on the Kent Business Radio website, to their website, and have a check of them out. New recruitment.
Great name, isn't it, Elbrus James?
Yeah. Why are you holding your nose?
Because I was going to sneeze.
Oh, were you?
I've never sneezed in 6 years. I pride myself on it.
Have you not?
No.
And there's you telling me you got a cold, but you haven't sneezed.
Not live on air. I haven't.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Okay. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to speak to our first studio guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, quite a long time since you were last on, Mr. Julian Donnelly of James Rosa Associates. Julian, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back. It's been about 2.5 years.
Yeah,
it's great.
We worked out that when you were on last time, we were just building the studio, and we had a wafting smell of glue while you were on, which all sent us a bit doolally on the day, because if I remember, it's quite warm as well.
I remember leaving with a smile on my face.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Jules again. Cool. Anyway, Julian, welcome back onto the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you join us. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about James Rosa Associates and what you do?
Sure. Well, James Rosa Associates, we're a firm of licensed debt advisors.
Right.
So we basically help individuals and businesses that are struggling financially. So it's really a case of understanding what's going on with their finances and giving them best advice about all of the options that are available to them.
Okay. I mean, because it's one of those things that a lot of people talk about, especially coming up to election when almost everybody, including the country, is in quite a significant amount of debt. But the debt levels amongst private individuals is quite high at the moment, I understand, as well. Is that true, or is it, you know... Or are we running at kind of normal levels? What's it looking like?
Well, it depends what you consider normal. I mean, yeah. they do say that the average person owes £10,000, but that does include, obviously, student loans.
Right, OK. Which is an interesting concept in itself, because half of them never get paid back. So tell us a bit more, kind of round out a bit more about what you do on the debt management side of things. Is it? Do you aim your offerings at individuals, at businesses, a bit of both? How does it work?
Well, on the advisory side, I mean, that's free at the point of use to both individuals and businesses. Obviously, there is a qualifying criteria because, unfortunately, there's only four of us, so we can't help everybody right. much as we'd like to.
Sure.
So really, it's kind of aimed at kind of company owners, company directors, or yeah. homeowners with more than £50,000
right.
of unsecured debt. I mean,
right.
for instance, sort of seeing people with personal credit cards in excess of £30,000 really? Is actually very common.
Really? Wow,
yeah.
Blimey.
So again, on the advisory side, it's laying out all of the options. What yeah. we actually do on the solution side is we'll either work with various partners to deliver like debt management solutions or formal insolvency solutions with our insolvency practitioner friends.
Okay.
But what we do in-house is either negotiate settlements on their debts.
Right.
That's either bank debt, trade creditors. We do a lot of work with the Inland Revenue, but a lot of it does surround about personal guarantee liabilities as well.
Okay, so let's make sure that I understand this. So basically, I come to you, I've got a bit of a debt that I've run up as a business,
sure.
and I'm struggling with it, and I've got all these debtors that are going, give me my money, otherwise I'm going to shut you down, da 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 da. I come to you, and you say, right, what we'll do is we'll find out who your creditors are, and we will talk to them and see if we can do some kind of deal. Is that how it works?
Well, it can be. I mean, again, it's running through the options because, I mean, there could be more than one way of dealing with the solution,
right,
but
okay.
it all depends on where you're at and where you want to be at some point in the future.
Mm.
So, for instance, dealing with an individual, whether they want to go through a bankruptcy situation or whether they'd rather go down the IVA route, quite often is more down to a personal preference
yeah.
rather than anything else.
Just explain to the listener what an IVA is.
Individual voluntary arrangement. You may remember the advert several years ago due to a little known piece of government legislation where they're actually referring to the Insolvency Act of 1986. This is whereby an insolvency practitioner will take a proposal and call a meeting of all the person's creditors
yeah.
and present a proposal whereby a certain amount will get paid back every month over what is normally a 5-year period
yeah.
and at the end of that 5-year period whatever's left over gets written off.
Yeah.
Now the creditors then vote whether to accept this or not and 75% of them by value of the debt have to agree
right.
for it to be enshrined in law as it were.
Yeah.
And then the debtor just makes those payments every month and that's it.
Okay. Can I just ask you, because many years ago I invested in a business that actually ended up in an IVA and luckily worked its way out of that and recovered and paid off all of its debts. But back in the day, the main creditor or the first creditor was always HMRC. Is that still the case now?
Well, with company voluntary arrangements, they're called CVAs. Yes, yeah. it is quite common for the Crown to be the primary creditor.
Yeah.
But they'll look quite seriously at any of these proposals. For them, it's really a case of, is that proposal realistic?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, I mean, us business owners, we're kind of optimistic bunch.
Yeah.
So it's really a case of, are they going to get their money back? Because it might be better off just to kind of wind the business up and call it a day.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So there are two kind of different approaches to this, an individual approach and a company approach.
Absolutely, but they go hand in hand because
you
can't deal with the creditor without the director, without actually dealing with the company first.
Absolutely. Okay. Cool. So that's kind of just one aspect of it,
of course.
And presumably, you're going to offer services that help people deal with it before getting to that level of doing things. Winding up a business or asking for a winding up.
Well, again, it's one of those sort of things. The earlier we get involved, the more options are on the table.
Yeah.
So don't phone me at 11 o'clock at night saying, "Help! My house is getting repossessed." In the morning, what can you do? Well, I can wish you luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But people do, though, don't they? They do wait far too long to sort out a lot of the problems they get, which I guess is how people get into debt in the first place. You can talk about this forever and ever and ever. I remember dear old Nick Leeson at Barings when he crashed the bank, and just having worked in that business myself many, many years ago, you could see what he was doing. He'd overextended himself. And then, just on a wish and a prayer, he kept overextending himself in the hope, in the blind faith that something would pay off somewhere down the line, and suddenly pay it all off and nobody would ever notice. Of course, once he got past £1 billion of debt, he was in big trouble and the whole thing collapsed.
I mean, it's a common thing, common theme with all of our clients, be they kind of corporate entities or private individuals. It's always a case of, oh no, we'll get this blue sky deal or I'll get that promotion at work. I mean, I've been through bankruptcy myself.
Right.
I did write a piece about that on our website. And it's one of those sort of things, you know, recognise there is an issue and the earlier you deal with it,
that
the easier it's going to be and the sooner you can get on with the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. But people do put these things off, don't they? And they really need, as you say, the quicker they can talk to someone such as yourself, the more options they've got.
Absolutely. I mean, we always tend to find there's kind of one of five reasons that brings people to our door.
Right.
And it's either kind of divorce, bereavement, redundancy, a bad business deal, or a bad business partner.
Right.
Some unfortunate souls have more than one of those reasons. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's always one of those. So it's been a fairly significant life-changing event that has kind of turned the financial world on its head.
Yeah.
So again, there's quite a lot of emotional and sort of mental baggage that goes along with that you've got to kind of work through before you get to a position whereby you can do something about it.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that those kind of things sprung up on people and you know, impact them. And the funny thing is, I suppose, because emotionally when they're involved in something like that, it becomes hard to think rationally about what you're doing. I just want you to touch on, if you may, without giving away too much information, obviously, some of the kinds of solutions that you might look at. You know, so we've talked a little bit about voluntary liquidations and company voluntary liquidations and so on, bankruptcy, but what are the other types of solutions that you may look at with someone with debt problems?
Well, I mean, what we all actually do in-house is we deliver two solutions in-house, and the first I've touched on already is the negotiated full and final settlements.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a classic example. We had a client come to us who'd received a demand from a bank for £300,000 on a personal guarantee.
Right.
And after 6 months of negotiation and kind of examining the paperwork, looking at the legal position, we've actually settled out of court for
£20,000. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen that well all the time, but, sure, you know, every case is different. Mm-hmm. So it's really a case of, you know, where does the client stand from a legal standpoint? For instance, with personal guarantees, you know, has it been drafted correctly? Has it been executed correctly? Because it may be potentially legally vulnerable.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, most banks, etc., you know, they do it right. They've been doing it for decades, if not centuries.
Yeah.
So then it's a case of, okay, if there is any potential vulnerabilities, we can use that as leverage in a commercial discussion to come to a deal. Because more often than not, you know, the banks would rather sort of sit down and talk turkey and come to an arrangement. Much that's a preference to kind of going down and spending £50,000 in litigation fees.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, so forgive me.
Where's the door?
But is there one or a couple of mistakes that people make all the time? What I mean by that is when people call you in, you go, oh, they haven't done that again. Is there anything that you could say to people? Look, don't even start going down this route. This is, you know, this, we see so many people that end up in debt because of X, Y, or Z.
Well, I mean, some of the old sayings are probably the best. You know, if you find yourself in the bottom of a great big hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
You know, because it's people's immediate usual response is, oh, okay, oh, I need some money. Let's go and borrow some money. You know, never mind all the money they already owe.
Yeah.
So it's really a case of take stock, take a step back and kind of see where you are and look at the bigger picture. I mean, there's plenty of sources of free advice out there. I mean, the Money Advice Service and the Step Change Debt Charity, to name but two.
Yeah. What was that, Step Change?
Step Change Debt Charity, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're just two of the free sources out there, that there are many more. So I would definitely recommend it. If you're worried about your finances, stop.
Yeah.
Seek some advice.
I came across someone once. I can't even remember how I came across them, but they had a huge debt on their credit card and they were paying it off by borrowing against another credit card.
Oh, good.
For goodness sake.
Yeah, but
no.
That's sheer panic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
They just
don't
know what to do.
But that's kind of what Julian's saying, isn't it? That, you know, if you're in a hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
Call someone like Julian. Just don't keep going and keep going. People just keep on going. And it just makes it far worse and exponentially worse as well.
Mm. I mean, there are a lot of people out there at the moment still stuck with interest-only mortgages that are borrowing on their credit cards to make up a monthly shortfall just to live. So obviously with interest rates forecast to rise probably in Q1 next year, they reckon there could be quarter of a point rise.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to push a lot of households over the edge. So, you know, I mean, people really need to start looking at this now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and managing your expenditure on a much better basis. It's one of the things you do see quite a lot, is people don't really manage their budget, do they? They're a personal budget, let alone company budgets. it is something that people tend to do on a wing and a prayer.
Well, absolutely. But again, there's lots of sort of help out there for smaller businesses who perhaps can't afford to get a qualified financial director in, for instance. Yeah. There are a lot of services out there that offer what they call interim management.
Yeah.
So you can get a qualified and an experienced financial director in one day a week or one day a month or however often you need it.
Yeah.
You know, so you only pay for what you use. But that way you get that kind of experience within your business. And quite often that will solve a lot of issues. I mean, the amount of times I'll walk into a business and say, right, you know, let's have a look at your management account, see where you're at, see if the business can be saved, and they'll look at me blankly, and it's just, I tell you what, let's save 3 hours of everybody's life and go straight for the liquidation paperwork here, because if you've got no financial visibility, the chances are this is going to be a car crash.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I tell business people, I operate as an angel investor, so I invest in lots of businesses that give me lots of opportunities to put money into their fabulous businesses, and so many of them you just think you're having a laugh. You're right. So many businesses don't have management accounts. They don't know what their P&L looks like. They don't know what their balance sheet looks like. And we had a really bizarre exchange a few weeks ago. I happened to mention I was going to visit my accountants, the lovely people at Rift, and I was looking forward to the meeting. And somebody tweeted me, "You must be mad. Why on earth would you look forward to seeing your accountants? Because they're really nice people and they're really interesting and useful." No, but they're accountants. And I suddenly realised that they viewed accountants as someone that just told them off all the time, rather than a resource to use to help them manage their business. And so many people don't do that, and they don't have a handle on their numbers, and I just don't understand how they expect to run a business like that. I really don't.
Well, no, I mean, a decent accountant is core to the success of any business.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's absolutely fundamental. Obviously, you know, you need to have a product that's saleable, you need to have a market, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't have a good accountant behind you, you just won't know where you're going.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So, how do people find you, Julian? You know, I mean, the clients that you deal with, is this a lot of it? Is it word of mouth, or do you trawl around the courts looking for people in tears outside? How does it work?
Well, generally speaking, most of our clients come to us by word of mouth or introduction. So we get most of our work through insolvency practitioners, solicitors, and accountants.
Right.
People do find us obviously through our social media and website as well, but that's a very very small part. But again, we're looking at growing that.
Right. Okay. Cool. So I'll tell you what, give us a shout out for your website and how people can track you down and find you and all that kind of stuff.
Certainly, yeah. The website is www.jamesrosa.co.uk.
Cool. And that link is on the Kent Business Radio website. You're also on the Twitter, are you not?
I am indeed, at Julian Donnelly or James Rosa ASOC.
Right.
So not enough characters for associates, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's the trouble with limited characters, isn't it? Julian, thank you so much for coming back onto the Business Bunker Show.
Been a pleasure.
And telling us about the work that you do. It is important work. If you are in debt, I encourage you to get hold of someone like Julian and get their help sooner rather than later. Listen, if it isn't a big deal, what have you got to lose?
Exactly. Yeah.
If it is a big deal, you need to do something about it. So whichever way you look at it, you need to help get someone to look at what you're doing. So do get hold of Julian if you've got any of those kind of issues, either as a business or as a company director personally. Julian, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us again on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to hear from you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Of course.
But Julian Donnelly of James Rosa Associates Debt Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good to know that there are people out there, because I know quite a few people I know. You know, I mean, there's even suicide because of a very, quite small
Absolutely.
Debt.
Absolutely.
And when you're in that pit, Julian, you agree, he's sighing with relief because he's off. but when you're in that pit, you can't see the wood for the trees. So having someone like you, Julian, to talk through it and actually just show that there is a way out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is great. So be calm.
Absolutely.
Calm and collected.
We've had tweets from Sally Laker at Sally for Cakes and the Whitstable Stove Shop over there, not in Faversham, but
no,
in Whitstable.
They are actually in, just as you come into Whitstable, in Saddleton Road.
They are indeed.
And they do barbecues now, you know.
They do, and pizza ovens.
For summer.
Yeah. The lovely Miriam McGurk, author of Tales from Turkey, has also tweeted in. We've got
a little competition going on to tell the difference between you and Pole Dark. We've got that there. Now, Sally Laker says it's the sideburns that give it away. Top two hunks of 2015. And Gallons Employment say all we need is the side and the chest photoshopped on. Then you'd just be on
I'm not joining in with this. This is just...
And then Chris Pollard has chirped
you and your little crowd of friends. Who it is?
Chris Pollard has chirped. Oh, this does amuse me. He says it's that nostril flaring in the sunlight. So they're all seeing a resemblance between you and Aidan Turner.
Yeah, yeah, of course they do. By the way, Stu got you a full set of...
maracas?
No. Autographs from Downton Abbey.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Where are they?
I don't know where Stu is at the moment. I bumped into... This is my youngest son. He works on Downton Abbey, the TV programme.
Wow.
I actually bumped into him accidentally in Canterbury on Saturday, not expecting it.
Was he in period costume?
No. He was in his normal jeans and he was on his way to London.
Oh, he didn't phone Dad and say hi?
No. I'd literally accidentally bumped into him walking down the street and he went, oh, hello. Fancy seeing you here. Give me a lift to the station.
But has he gone all Downton Abbey?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my son Shay's back home with his lady friend Mimi, and she's staying for the whole of the Easter holidays. She's lovely. Mm. I haven't met her before. But Shay just comes home and puts his head in the fridge. But last night he cooked roast pork.
In the fridge? Wow.
No, in the oven. It was fantastic.
Nice one, Shay.
That was most impressive.
What we got tomorrow?
Don't know.
We've had a tweet from Stuart Saffrey. He says, I'm hunkering for some serious bunkering. The only show for business. It's on today with Paul and Jules, and I'm listening in. So thank you for that, Stuart.
We've had the lovely Venom Tech, little snaky people. And they said, James Rosa Associates, great advice from Julian on Business Bunker. Getting a part-time FD is a truly business-defining move.
Absolutely. And talking about Venom Tech, I happen to know that they want to share some great news they've had, and they want to share it with us first. They have successfully closed their first round of funding.
Have they?
So thank you for your support, and it's an absolute pleasure. Well done to the guys over there at Venom Tech who have successfully raised, I think they raised £256,000, I think.
Excellent.
I may have made that up. But
I was actually thinking of investing. I've left it too late. I can do the next lot.
You invest in the next round. It is a great company with a great potential, and
I think so.
It's really interesting.
And they're quite rare, that's why I think it's a good investment.
Yeah, it's unique is the word you're looking for.
I didn't get round to it.
Yeah, no, but so well done to the guys at Venom Protector, Steve, Sarah and the team. Fantastically well done. We've had a tweet from James at B Mentoring Plus. B, that's the letter B, Mentoring Plus on the Twitter. And he says, can't wait for today's show and to hear from the lovely Jules Serkin and Miss MP Services. You're going to be...
We can't wait.
He says, you're going to be spoilt today, Paul. There you go.
Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to get the gems of information.
Absolutely. And Peter Wood, who is known as 99Hawkeye99 on the Twitter, says, Vanilla Web Scoff and Quaff Jules, found a use for your old wine cases that you allegedly get through. And he's given us a link about upcycling your old wine cases.
Who is this?
It's Peter Wood.
Ah. Oh.
99Hawkeye99.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check him out.
Yeah.
Allegedly, let's just say.
Allegedly. Yeah. I don't know why he bothers. Yeah. Now, she's got tons of them, and that's not allegedly. That's not a rumour. I've seen them. Empty boxes, empty bottles.
Just in the back of your car.
Jules has her own bottle bank in her front garden because it was easier for the council to bring it to her than it was her to take the bottles to the bottle bank. This is one of those things. And Lee Willis, the chair of Ancorians Football Club, has tweeted in to say that they're listening in. So thank you to all of those folks for doing that.
And Diane Dupree, I always call her Diana for some reason, has...
You met Diana?
I interviewed her. And I have a lovely picture of her on my phone. But was that interview one of the ones you scuppered?
No.
Or you kept it?
I'm going to play it. We did a number of interviews at the West Kent Business Show last Friday.
We also ate quite a lot of cake, as I remember.
We ate a truckload of cupcakes.
Yeah. But you know what happened? I brought one back for Shay, my son, and the dog ate it. He put it on the coffee table. I mean, it's fatal.
You don't want to do that.
Then he spent an hour looking for it, and the dog was just sitting there.
Right. Well, I've got a picture of some quality gates on Twitter.
So they are beautiful
they
gates.
They are fabulous.
And already...
And that bloody bloke from Pole Dart all over the place. For goodness sake.
That bloody bloke. Yeah. He's gorgeous, isn't he?
No.
Claire can't wait to watch Pole Dart now.
Yeah, James from B Mentoring Plus says, it's not true that you get a shout out on Business Bunker if you say that Jules Serkin is lovely.
It's not true. Oh, yeah. Has he said it and been ignored?
Yeah, so great show as always, guys. Thank you, James. Yeah. So she's not going to mention you now because she's still all loved up over
Aidan.
Bloke on.
Aidan Turner.
Pole dart. Yeah. Goodness
sake. Pole dancing, did you say? Pole dart.
No, not pole dancing, pole dart.
He is gorgeous. He just smoulders.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right then. I'll tell you what, read a quick email and then we'll have our break.
There's a leading occupational health expert has called for businesses to consider what they can do to celebrate World Health Day, which is on the 7th of April. Jill Monk, Managing Director of Occupational Health Services, it's a provider called All Health Matters Limited, if you're looking
at
that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
She's urged employers to think about the health of their staff and how they can act to improve it. Apart from the obvious ill effects on individuals and their families, absence from work costs the United Kingdom economy $14 billion a year, according to the CBI. And figures released by the Chartered Institute of Personal and Development show the overall average cost of ill health per employee per year last year, 2014, was £609. That's the average. I reckon it's more than that.
Yeah,
within that, the private sector average was 520, 43% less than the public sector average of 914. Cost of absence includes paying the salary of the absent employee, overtime paid to other employees, additional recruitment and training overheads, and the loss of output, and add to that the unquantifiable strain on other members of the team. So if you want to find out more about helping or looking into a healthy working environment, can we suggest that you contact allhealthmatters.co.uk and find out some more. I reckon those figures seem quite low, actually, don't you?
Could be.
Depends who you work for.
Absolutely. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to have a quick break with a bit of tunage, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Miss Moneypenny.
Is it a bit of James Bond yet?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.